Ramsey TV.
Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to come up with something a little more exciting than this background in my new location that is in the cottage. Yes, I know it's a little echoey. I don't like it. This background is helping absorb some of the sound, but I have some blankets coming and I'm going to dampen the sound because as a professional broadcaster, I just can't countenance this echo. It really bothers me. Yes, even if it is a godlike reverb, I don't need it. I don't need a godlike reverb. I have the truth. I'm a small g god in my own right here, in control of my own show, MZTV. This is how I like it. I don't need any artificial enhancements. So for now, I know this is very dull. I could at least put some posters up here, but I don't have time right now. The big change took place yesterday. I got like 98% stuff. Well, I also got 98% of my stuff transferred over here. So I am good to go. But again, that echo is driving me crazy. I thought that maybe these partitions would help, but apparently not. I don't know. I got to put a roof over here with some A-crate. I will figure it out. In the meantime, the truth marches on. On Friday, I told you that... Oh, by the way, thank you to all who have helped me get here. It's not my It wasn't my decision to move to an actual human habitation. You know me, I would have stayed in the laundry room for the rest of my life, which will be till the end of this eon, which of course is imminent. However, God forced this move because I was forced, lovingly, I was forced out of the laundry room. And so the path of least resistance was to go across the yard to the cottage, which miraculously became available. This is a God thing. I've seen it as a God thing. And you, my fellow believers, faithful viewers of this show, everything you have done to help me do this show, some of you only recently, some of you for 25 years, this is and will continue to be, to the end, a grassroots enterprise. This is a thing of God that's done many times on a shoestring. Definitely on a shoestring budget. I like it simple. See the simple black background? Maybe this is too simple. I broadcast from my car. I broadcast from the cemetery. I broadcast from under a tree. I broadcast from my back against a wall. I've broadcast in front of a washer and dryer for 2 years. Now I'm broadcasting from what we will lovingly come to call the cottage. Yes, it is a nice place. It is an upgrade for me. I'm astounded that I'm even here because for some reason I usually think of myself as unworthy to live like other human beings. But why? Why should I be unworthy to live like other human beings? And so this is a thing of God and I am going to... Listen, the laundry room just was not real conducive to certain things. This place will be conducive to many things. I have privacy for the first time in 8 years. I have not had privacy in 8 years. That is for real. The only way I've gotten any privacy in the last 3.5 years is to go into my car. Before that, I've lived with other people in other people's places. I have not had my own place in 8 years. When I did have my own place in 2009, it was not desirable. It was an exile, and it was, to me, felt like a gulag. Anyway, that's a little bit of that. Now, on Friday, I suggested to you that those who would embrace any teaching that would put off the return of Christ, I think there's something wrong there. Now, if they legitimately believe that it's centuries away, the return of Christ, that's one thing. But I have a feeling that that's not how things start. I have a feeling that things start with a desire to be with family. I think family, F-A-M-I-L-Y, is the number one thing that makes people misinterpret Scripture, that makes people look at Scripture through rose-colored glasses. Almost everybody I know that tries to make the lake of fire, which is the second death, they try to make it a second mortality. They try to make it a reform school where their loved ones, who they know are not believers, they want it to be a place where their loved ones will be educated in the things of God. They don't want to think ever that their loved ones might be subject to the second death. I'm telling you, and listen, I'm not against people loving their families. Of course you love your families, but you cannot love your family at the expense of scriptural truth. I know people who don't want to even talk about the snatching away because of their kids, and some people because of their pets. They don't even want to talk about the snatching away because of what it might mean for their pets. Hey, on some level, I get it. On another level, I'm like, what? Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, I am in verse, the hell verse am I in? I am in verse 26. If anyone is coming to me and is not hating his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters and dogs and cats and gerbils and piggies, and still more his soul, besides, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who is not bearing his cross coming after me cannot be my disciple. Now, of course, I know this is from the circumcision gospel, and I am not here telling you today that if you love your father, mother, your sisters, your brothers, if you love them more than you love Christ, or more than you love the appearing of Christ, or if you love your own soul more than you love the coming and the appearing of Christ, this is not something that will keep you from the snatching away. It will not expel you from the body of Christ. It's just not desirable. In the kingdom gospel, it's fatal. But in our gospel, that is the gospel of the transcendent grace of God come to us through Paul, it's just not desirable. But those who would automatically reject the imminency of Christ's return, I think they are prejudiced against it. They are prejudiced against any verse or any teaching, any interpretation of Scripture that would put the Lord's return imminent. Even though we are overladen with signs, we are oozing and dripping with indications in the world and from Scripture that these are the final years, if not the final months of Millennium 6. And as I have said, you have to be deaf, dumb, and blind to think that this era that we're now living in is like every other era that has ever been. That is, as Elmer Fudd would say, totally ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. Let's be real. Paul has his version of hate your mother, hate your father, hate your sisters, hate your brothers, hate your sons, hate your daughters, hate your dogs, and hate your cats. And this is it. And I've taught this for many a year, and I will continue to teach it periodically because this is essential for your peace. And I'm not saying that if you don't get here, you're out of the body of Christ. I'm not saying that if you can't get to this place I'm about to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I'm not saying that you're any lesser member of the body of Christ. It just might be that you have a problem with the world. It just might be that you love the world. It just might be that you love this current eon. If you do, I do feel sorry for you in a way, because this eon will constantly disappoint you. Because if you love your family more than Christ, what happens if you lose a member of your family? God forbid. God forbid. But there's so much that can be lost in our family realms. Listen to this. You hear that hum? You hear that in the background? That's this amazing thing called air conditioning that is an essential down here in South Florida, but it is something that you never heard from the laundry room because I never had it. Did you often see me in the laundry room with trickles of sweat dropping down my forehead and my neck? And I have sweat stains under my arms, which is very gross, very gross. I apologize. But you know why? Because I had no air conditioning in there. I suffered for the cause. Now, see, I'm not suffering so much, and I'm thinking, oh my God, what's wrong? What's to become of me? But I'm not worried, ladies and gentlemen, because as you know, I am not suffering-oriented. I am not trial-oriented. I don't sit around mourning that I don't have enough trials. Oh my God, my air conditioning trial went away. Because this brings me another trial, that is audio interference. I would almost rather suffer the heat. I have no problem in the heat. So I'm being spoiled as we speak, and the show is being disrupted as we speak by this unwanted hum. However, it is a bit white noise-ish, so I'll let it go for now. If you love the world, you have a problem, because the world will let you down every time. I remind you, and I will continue to remind you, this system, this eon, this cosmos is the one that rejected Jesus Christ. You are standing on the same terra firma that crucified our Savior. You still like it? Do you still like it? I hate it. I hate the world. I hate the system, which is the world. I hate the eon. Yes, I've got a lot of great benefits here. That is the suffering and the trial. You have too, that will temper us, that will give us the necessary contrast to be able to enjoy our celestial allotment. However, enough's enough. In the meantime, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 29. I am averring, brethren, to aver, I am averring, I guess not averring. To aver is to say something very forcefully. We might say, I'm insisting with great vociferousness while pounding my fist on a table that the era is limited. In the Greek, this means being wrapped up. Okay, the era is being wrapped up. That furthermore, those having wives maybe as not having them, those lamenting as not lamenting, those rejoicing as not rejoicing, and those buying as not retaining, and those using this world as not using it up. For the fashion of this world is passing by. Now I want you to be without worry. The best way to be without worry is to hold on loosely. That's the nutshell of this. That's the cliff notes of this whole passage from 1 Corinthians 7 that I just read you. And it's hold on loosely. If you have a wife, act like you don't have a wife. This sounds like very unscriptural advice, but it's not. It doesn't mean you go off and leave your wife. It doesn't mean you ignore your wife. It doesn't mean you stop paying your wife's bills. It doesn't mean you stop providing for your wife. It just means that you hold on loosely to your wife. And it's the same thing with the world. See, this is not only talking about husbands and wives, and of course, it goes the other way. Wives toward husbands, hold on to your husband loosely. Don't make your husband your everything, because that is the road to disappointment, and I'm probably preaching to the choir. If you make your loved ones your everything, then you're going to be disappointed constantly. You got to spread out your portfolio. You have to diversify. If you put all your money on one stock, that stock better work out or you're screwed. If you put all your hopes, all your dreams, all your expectations on one person, then that person better be stellar. That person better be excellent or you're screwed. Okay, now what are the chances of your spouse being perfect and excellent? None. So does that mean you're screwed? No, you're not screwed because you haven't put everything on them. You have diversified your portfolio. The first thing people do to diversify their portfolio is to have children. This is a wonderful way to keep spouses from each other's throats. They have kids, and now their portfolio is divested of its one-trackness. It's been distributed intelligently to other beings. And now, if you find that you're disappointed with your spouse, you can find satisfaction with your children. But Martin, what if my children disappoint me? What if I put all my hopes and dreams and expectations on my children and they disappoint me? Well, that's simple. Buy a dog. I'm serious. Buy a dog. A dog will never disappoint you. Because dog is man's best friend and woman's best friend as well. Now you've really diversified your portfolio, because now you have a wife or a husband, a couple kids, a dog and a cat. So if you're a wife, you have a husband, one, two kids, two, three, a dog and a cat, four, five. Now you have five beings, one of which has to please you, right, on any given day. Four of them will disappoint you. It is possible that your dog will crap on the floor. Your cat will scratch up the sofa. It's possible. But I doubt that that will happen on the same day that your kid colors on the wall with a red crayon. Probably won't happen on the same day. See? So the kid will wreck your wall, but that won't be the day that the dog is crapping. So you can then get comfort from the dog. Good doggy. No poopy today on the rug. Good boy. Good boy. Good boy. Let's say your dog poops on the floor. Let's say your kids color at the same time. But let's say that your husband gives you a beautiful card and a bouquet of flowers for no reason at all. What I mean is, it's not a Hallmark holiday. It's not Valentine's Day. It's not your birthday. It's not Sweetest Day. It's not Wife's Day. It's not Have Sex With Your Partner's Day. It's not Nothing Day. It's just that he loves you. So now he has come through for you. And who cares what the kids and the dogs and the cats are doing? See? It all works out. Now here's something wild. Oh, before I get to that. God, what if you're in love with the world? That is the eon. That is the arrangement of things. Wow. You're in for a real scroogey. You're in for a real screw job there, because it will always disappoint you. Because Satan is the god of this world. Wouldn't love the world if I were you. It will seduce you into thinking it's your friend, and then it will lower the boom on you. That's what the world will do. That's what the world has to offer you. Resist it. Here's the crazy thought. Here's the wild thought. Put this in your pipe and smoke it. What if your pleasure, joy, contentment, and the love of your life was God in Christ? I know it's tough to be BFFs with God in Christ because they're not physically present. And Jesus himself, well, he hasn't shown up for 2,000 years. But we know, as I told you Friday, that God and Christ have put their spirit in us. And we have some amazing yet undeniable, because scripture tells us, an inexhaustible source of deep, 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 deep comfort. And that is the spirit of God within us. And it will never let you down. This is why Jesus said in the passage from Luke, I read Luke 26, that these relatives are to be hated relative to. Yeah, you're supposed to hate relatives relatively. Relative to your love for Christ. Obviously, Jesus is not saying, I want you to hate your mother. No. Or not telling children who are believers, hate your parents, because the very word of God says, love and obey, respect your parents. So this is in relation. It's relative to your love for Christ and your love for God. And we're not to love our own souls either. Your soul is what you want, what's going to make you feel good, what you think you need to get through this life. You could be in love with that. And that is horrible, because chances are today you're not going to get what you want. So Paul is telling us here, giving us great advice concerning spouses, concerning the world, concerning stuff in the world, concerning emotions, concerning events. It's all wrapped up in this. First of all, the era is limited. That is, the era, the time period we're living in is closing down. And it was closing down in his day too. I mean, we're in the same era Paul was in, but some people don't agree with that. And I'm going to get into that tomorrow. I'm going to bring forth to you objections to this truth. I'm going to bring forth to you people in the body of Christ who say the opposite of these things, that you must not live treat your wife as though you don't have a wife. You must not buy so as not retaining. In other words, you should buy things and love them, lick them, pet them, squeeze them, think about them, dream about them, look at them, put them on shelves, shine lights on them, which is the opposite of not retaining them. It's the opposite of buying them and, I could take it or leave it. No. This is a different era we're living in now. And you're supposed to be emphatically like put your husband or your wife or your dogs or your cats or your kids on a pedestal, on a shrine. Make a shrine out of them. Kneel to the shrine. Say the rosary to them because they are the epitome of a walk in Christ today. If you don't have a wife or a husband or kids or a dog or a cat, then you are not living the fullness of the life that God has for you. This is actually what some are saying in our camp. And so they're also saying that when Paul says, using this world as not using it up, in other words, using it, living in it, I'm using it right now. I'm using the electricity of the world that's fueling my computer. I'm using the light of this world. I have my little lights here. I'm using that. I'm using whoever made these things. I'm going, nice job making that. I'm using a camera. I'm using the air conditioner. It's keeping me cool, and it's probably going to result in better messages for you because I feel better. I'm utilizing these things. I'm utilizing the roof above my head, but can I forget about it in a day? Can I turn my back on it if necessary in an hour? Yes, I can because I'm using it, but I'm not using it up. That is, I'm not licking it, loving it, petting it, squeezing it, pedestalizing it. I'm not, and neither should you. And you must resist anybody telling you that these things are to be your focus in this life. And if you don't have a family, then forlorn are you. Most pitied are you among all the inhabitants of the world. And there is this, again, there is this stranglehold, this squeeze-a-thon on family and friends and things that is unhealthy. And I think that it is the motivation. I think it is the underlying cause of those who would hope that the coming of the Lord is far away. And I think that those who think that Paul's advice here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 belongs to a previous era, it's not for today, I think that that's a convenient excuse for holding on to things overly so, and for embracing interpretations of Scripture which puts the return of Christ as centuries away. People who hear that, it's centuries away. If you and I hear that, you and I here, if somebody told us, well, you guys are wrong, I've done some study and I think the return of Christ is 500 years away, you and I would probably get a rope and a rafter and a chair. We would be like, I can't make it. I can't make it. I can't do it. You and I would do that. But there are other people who, they breathe a sigh of relief. Why? Why do they breathe a sigh of relief? Why do they embrace teachings that put the coming of Christ centuries away, even though it can't be scripturally proven? Why do they do that? Because they don't want to say this. They don't want to admit it. They probably won't admit it. But they are secretly in love with the eon. And they're in love with the system. And they want to see their grandchildren grow up. It's a nice thing, great thing. I'm not disparaging it. But it's very, very subtle. Very, very subtle distraction. It's a very, very subtle way to, and it's not even intentional, subtle way to not see the truth concerning the era that we are in. That it is limited, that it is short, and that it's coming to a theater near you.